Do you want to find solutions that help teams make better decisions, solve problems faster, and free their creative minds to come up with smarter solutions? There's a workshop for that. Bonjour, I'm Nati Ravez, and I'm delighted to welcome to this show facilitators and experts who share their knowledge and experience of everything you need to know in the world of facilitation, giving you tips and tools for leading groups, sparking collaboration, and driving innovation. Thank you for tuning in, and let's go.
Check, check, check. We are online.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello, Jakub Michalski.
Hello. Hi, Nati.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful, warm feeling to see you again.
Always.
Jakub, you are the good soul behind a few community or one big community that have been in, and I'm still in since 2 years, the Workshop and Master community, the Facilitators Connect community. You've been there supporting us, driving us through our processes. And we met, you and me, at the Workshop and Master retreat in Italy.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to have you in my circle, by the way.
Yes.
Welcome here.
Thank you, Nati. My first podcast, by the way.
Your first podcast?
Yeah, first podcast ever. But I bought a brand new microphone for that occasion. So you're getting Jakub in HD.
Nice. But you are used to talk with people online. So this is this is the same, actually. We just have a chat.
Yeah, it's just being recorded. And it's going to be on the internet forever. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So Jakub, like I said, you are known from a lot of facilitators because you were very active in the past years in several facilitators communities. But in 2023, you made a turn, a transformation, a change, something big. So we will talk about it. But first, I would like to ask you how you become in this community world, in this facilitation world. What is a little bit of your background? Where are you coming from? Because you're not German, you're not English.
No, I'm from Poland.
Oh, you're from Poland.
Yeah, and I guess this is where my community building, event organizing journey started. I think I was 16 or 17, and with a group of friends, we started organizing a music event in the local nightclub. I think at the time when I was pitching it to the nightclub, I was the only person who was 18. So we're kind of okay with being there. But that was kind of the first endeavor into building communities and event planning and making money with that. Mm-hmm. In some way. And then I moved to London and moved to Edinburgh after that. I was 19 or 20, kind of lost and not knowing what to do with myself. And by chance, I applied for a course called Events Management and Planning and Marketing. Mm-hmm. So that kind of defined my future in a way. It was basically, the course was focusing on two things. It was focusing on event planning and then on marketing and digital marketing. And these things have been like the main passions of mine since. My first job was at this digital marketing agency. I got that job because I thought that's the money-making thing. But then always in the background, I was organizing some sort of events. I was organizing creative mornings in Edinburgh with Alex Humphrey Baker and Laura Faint, who runs AJ and Smart now. That's how we met. Yeah, and just always helping and volunteering at various things like film festivals and other festivals in Edinburgh, because it's a festival city, obviously.
Oh, okay.
And then 2017, I kind of made a decision to move to Berlin. I always wanted to live here. for several reasons. It's close to my hometown, but it's not my hometown, if you know what I mean. And yeah, I already had some friends here, so it was the perfect place to live. So I moved, got a job at a startup where I kind of had a freedom to do whatever I want in a way. I was doing digital marketing, but kind of had a freedom to like just form my own role. And I kind of, over I think 4 years, it's kind of started drifting towards like this engagement, community, event person. And had a chance to build an engagement department, event department at that startup, which was amazing. And that kind of was like another confirmation. Okay, I feel good with this role. I feel good with this adrenaline of running those things. I feel good meeting people and helping them out with. Yeah, and then got a bit of tired of that. And yeah, just got a job at AJ & Smart, which was huge.
Yeah. When did you join AJ & Smart?
AJ & Smart happened, I think, in 2020 or 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Like just in the middle of the pandemic, I think. And it was a dream come true.
I can understand.
From outside, it seemed like they always do really cool things, and yeah, they seemed very fast-paced, and this is what I've always enjoyed in the past. Plus, they started talking about this facilitation thing and workshopping, and I started to realize, okay, this is also something very interesting, and started running some workshops in my startup job, and that was kind of life-changing as well. Anyway, just seeing people, how they interact during a workshop and what the outcomes of a workshop could be. So obviously was extremely excited about that job. And John and Laura had a brilliant idea of gathering the community at the workshop or retreat. I was tasked with organizing that retreat.
What a thing. I can remember as I bought my ticket in July. I think I was one of the last who bought a ticket because I just joined this community. And there were like, it was marketing, of course. It was marketing, of course. But there were like 6 spots left. And then
There were probably more, you know.
Yeah.
Marketing.
Yeah. I hate you. You were behind all the thing. But no. It's okay. No, I'm very
just a
thankful.
A little behind the scenes. At some point, we're actually oversold. We actually oversold the retreat, so there were
more,
not enough beds at the at the location. So the marketing, yeah, I was running around the office very, very stressed, hoping that somebody will cancel, because we literally, I was going to sleep in a tent.
But this event was a game changer for a lot of us, but it was also a game changer for you.
Yeah.
It makes you realize a lot of things.
Yeah.
And a lot of things about where you are now. Can you explain a little bit what happened with this event?
Yeah. Even though it was extremely, extremely stressful to organize it, to run it, any event planner, retreat planner will know that there are many, many problems along the way, including maybe even the venue canceling last minute and not responding to your emails. And also, I think the pressure was coming from the workshoppers themselves paying a lot of money for the retreat. Which was an unspoken pressure, because it's just something I put on myself, basically thinking, shit, these people are paying 5,000 euros to be there. It needs to be
perfect.
Amazing. Yeah, it needs to be perfect. And so I was worrying and not sleeping at night, worrying about things like, you know, food options and gluten-free pasta and and things like this, you know, because I thought if someone's paying this much money, they need to have all the pastas they want, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, also the timing was very interesting. It was kind of the post-pandemic first in-person event I've run this big in a really, really long time. During the pandemic, I kind of switched to online webinar style events, which is also okay. But the energy you get from an in-person event like this, especially when you gather people for several days, is just insane, mm-hmm. you know? And even though you're there, you're not sleeping because you're just high on adrenaline and there are just so many things happening. And I'm sure it was the same for you, no? As an attendee, there was just all these new people, all these new possibilities. You have brand new facilitators mingling with someone like Dee, who's, I think, on this podcast as well, no? Who's
yeah.
done hundreds of thousands of workshops.
It was not possible to sleep
yeah.
because it was like we had 4 days. You didn't want to miss a minute. We had a lot of conversation in the night at 3 o'clock in the night
yeah.
about this whole world, about our passion, about techniques, about business, about whatever. And a lot of laugh and a lot of, wow, I meet someone from Singapore and here is someone from the US and here is someone from wherever. It was like really a newbie looking at skilled people and a newbie also realizing that I'm not that newbie that I thought. There are people who are starting really and they are very young. So I have an experience, even if it's not in this field. Yeah, it was really, really excited.
So it's not only the adrenaline of running an event like this, which I love,
mm-hmm.
but also just seeing everyone interacting and seeing everyone loving it. Actually, the first thing when I realized, okay, I'm doing something right, was getting everyone from Turin in those taxis to the village.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a nightmare to coordinate. And I've never spoken to the taxi company. Like, to be honest, I had no idea if it's going to happen or not. I had no idea if the taxis will be there or not. You know, that was just like the most stressful thing. You know, will these people actually get here? But yeah, it just turned out fine. You know, the taxis were there. Everyone arrived. Yeah, so at that moment, I was like, yes, okay, I can do this. I'm enjoying doing this. This will be a good one. But also, I think what I started seeing during the retreat and afterwards is the impact that you're talking about, you know? As AJ and Smart, we knew it's going to impact people. This is how this retreat was designed. So there was no question about that. But I think seeing that come to life and just become a reality of people meeting new friends, people meeting their business partners, and just, yeah, completely changing their facilitation game or their marketing and sales game, you know?
Mm.
I mean, this podcast was started at the retreat.
Yeah, crazy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, just seeing how people, you know, we're still a community from that event, no? With, like, actually the people I'm in touch with, I met at the retreat.
Yeah.
Like you, like Maria. So it's like a community within a community. Yeah, that's a really interesting thing, no? To, like, but also a nightmare to track.
Yeah.
You know, when something starts in a online platform like school where we're hosting workshop and master, and it kind of just goes everywhere. You know, we're now on LinkedIn, we're now talking on Riverside. We met in Berlin. We'll meet again somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
And you love it so much
that I quit my job.
That you quit your job. Are you crazy? So
yeah.
what was the switch?
It was realizing at the retreat in that Italian village, I think how many days was it? Like 3 or 4?
It was four, I think. Yeah.
4. So like the last night, having like a little bit more space to sit down and actually have a dinner and enjoy a glass of wine. realizing nobody died, nobody got COVID, everyone's fine, and, you know, just watching all of you having a great time at that restaurant, I was like, yes, I loved it. I loved organizing it. And just seeing the buzz around me, I was like, yes, I'm good at this. This is what I want to be doing.
But this is what you were doing.
But I want to be doing more of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And also just people actually coming up to me saying thank you for doing this. Thank you for organizing this. And we see how much work went into this. You were amazing. Even getting a job offer at the retreat to organize other stuff like this. And I was like, yeah, this is, you know, that's what I want to be doing.
Yeah. So you quit and now you're on your own since a few months. How scary it is. Because yeah. I've been through that. How scary it is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we talk about it now. It's a really interesting time. So I left at the end of September 2023. Now it's, middle of
November.
So it's very, very interesting in terms of, like, you know, you kind of start a business with this assumption of, like, this is what people will want. And the more people you talk to, you kind of refine this pitch, this offer. Yeah, so in the pre-show, I was talking about, you know, it kind of feels like a speedboat sometimes. Yeah. You know, we kind of go into one direction super fast, bumpy, and then you change direction very, very fast. So it's a really interesting time. I'm really enjoying it. I have, you know, the luxury of, like, being able to enjoy this time. Mm-hmm. As I said also before, you know, I started journaling a lot because it's just, I don't want to miss those moments, you know, because I know in a year or 10, I'll be looking at this time and being like, wow, this was amazing. And not everyone is deciding to go solo, to start a business. You know, this is also for you and me and other solopreneurs who are in the workshopping space. Yeah, not everyone does it.
And not everyone does it because it's not easy. I mean, you have to learn to let go. It's for myself, it's easier. Sometimes I think, why I'm not normal having a salary each month? It is so easy. Yeah, but it's not so exciting.
Hi, I'm Nati, and I think that listening to this episode might make you feel inspired and think, wow, I'd like to use my skills as a facilitator to set up my own business like Jakob did, like Nati did, or other did. But I have no clue where to start, or I'm panicking because I don't know how to find clients. And perhaps you've already thought about this before listening to this episode and are feeling stuck, lost, or unclear. But here's the thing. If you'd like to, I can help you get clarity with some guidance. I've just mentored 5 facilitators over the 3 last months, helping them work out what they want to do, for whom, and how. And I assure you that once you have this clarity, it will be much easier for you to get focused on your offer, communicate with your potential customers in a clear way, and develop your business step by step. If you would like to book one of the 3 places available for 3 mentoring sessions in January to get the clarity you need, you have until the 21st of December to contact me. Yes, I know it's a short window to decide, but it could be a very good decision to start your 2024. So to get one of these 3 spots, book a call. There's a link in the show notes, or send me a message via LinkedIn. See you soon.
It's also, it's not about aging smart. I would feel the same in any job. You just kind of, you hit the point where you just feel like you're just coasting, you know, like you want to be doing more and more and more, but you just don't have the capacity. Now you're already working full time, so you can't be starting a YouTube channel and, you know, and just yeah, just for me, it just wasn't enough. I wanted more freedom and, you know, more autonomy.
Yeah, I think this is the main point. I think when you decide to do it on your own, there is a lot of, yeah, you want to have freedom to be proud of doing your own thing, to go through the challenge and overcome the limit, your limit. But if I was asking if it was also scary for you, it's because you're coming from a marketing machine. Agent Smart is really a marketing machine. They have an insane community, of course, a lot of products. They are launching things like every week. And you were the marketing director
community and marketing director.
Yeah. So coming from this, it means you had all the experience. You were at the one of the most known companies in this topic, and you were in marketing. So this is why I ask you, is it scary? Because it means for us, the normal people, that even if you are coming from such a place, going solo, it don't mean that everything is easy and that then you have to recalibrate and to reconcentrate on what you are doing. So
yes and no. I think what I realized very fast is that what is working for AJ Smart is not going to work for me as a solopreneur, you know? Yes, there are tactics and things that I am already running or will be running in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. But you also need to remember that we're just starting out, or I mean, I'm just starting out.
Me too,
you started
me too.
A year. You know, a business is like AJ and Smart. They've been on the market for like 13 years, you know? So like, that's a lot of time to figure things out and test what works. And yeah, so I think just seeing that bigger picture, no, it's, you just can't compare yourself to others and to other companies. And yeah. And yes, I know a lot, all of the tricks from my various years, from my many years at the startup company, at AJ and Smart, and also just from studying digital marketing. But it's still your journey, no? You still need to actually sit down and actually build that funnel, or start recording those video for your YouTube channel, or start a podcast. You know, it's still another level.
Because I'm mentoring a few facilitators right now, I think the thing is getting client, doing funnels, marketing, sales. The first thing that you have to know is, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? What is my proposal? What do I want to offer? What is fun for me, and what do I feel comfortable to start with? Because you will grow with your business. And even if you had the best marketing machine behind, you first need to know what is your service.
Yeah.
I think this is the big question every time, because I change every time, taking another direction. Oh, I could do this. I could do this also. But if you are doing too much things, then yeah, you need to communicate it also to different kind of personas. So you have to take decision where to start.
Yeah, and focus on that.
Yeah,
that's very.
I would like to talk about communities, because this is this is your passion, community and event. This is what you want to do now.
Yeah.
There are communities like we know here, the Better Community, the Facilitators Club community, the Never Done Before community. There are a lot of community in the facilitation fields. But I guess, are you concentrate in this field, or will you help others to build communities even in companies? What will you do?
Yeah, so I decided for now to focus on businesses trying to build communities and kind of expand the facilitation niche to go a little bit broader, but still use the facilitation skill that I have from working at AJ and Smart to help build these communities. So use workshopping for building communities. What I found in the startup where I was working at before AJ and Smart was that community teams are kind of in the middle of this collaboration mess. They need to collaborate with other departments. They need to collaborate with marketing, with sales, with product teams, customer success teams. And all these teams work in silos and, yeah, gather once a quarter when it's time to, like, you know, come up with the next OKRs. Yeah, I just remember sitting in those meetings, you know, weekly engagement meetings, and it was just such a drag and such a waste of time and people screaming and just, you know, all the all the memes, all the meeting memes in a weekly meeting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People crying even.
Yeah.
So yeah. Also building a community is such a you can't do it by yourself. No, it's such a collaborative thing, especially in a business. For that community to actually bring some business value to the business. So yeah, for now, I'm focusing on working with teams who build communities, who run events. Because I know in Workshop and Master, we talk a lot about, you know, being the guide and not the hero. But I think at this, especially at the beginning, I allow myself to be the hero a little bit, meaning I'm comfortable with stepping in as a consultant in some cases.
Yeah.
I know there are two teams in the facilitation world.
Yeah, you can act as a consultant and giving your experience and, like, also mentoring because you have it, you've done it before. And then letting the space for them to think about how do they want to do that through the process that you designed. And in this case, you step a little bit back. You give from your experience, you give from what you know. And then it gives them inspiration to then think on their own thing. So yeah, you don't have to. It depends in which role you are in a moment, you know, what you are doing in a moment. I see myself the same. I mean, if I'm working with project team, I've been a project manager and head of project management for years. So I will not come here and say, oh, no, I say nothing. I try to bring this on the table, of course, and then let them think about the thing.
It's your responsibility. Now, when you see a team stuck in a workshop, I think it's your job to
Help out.
Unstuck them.
Yeah, to help out. Yeah, of course. So it's interesting because I was in the two last week in two big companies in Germany. I was at Siemens and I was at SAP. And both companies have building communities. I don't know since how long I have to say. We were talking about future of work after the pandemic and the transformation, the culture transformation. And it was so exciting to see this. And they all build kind of communities inside the business. So when you are talking about the community you help companies to build inside their business, what kind of communities is this?
Yeah, so it really, really depends. Community can be so many different things. What I've been doing so far is building kind of two different types of communities. Building a customer community.
Mm-hmm.
So for basically a space for potential customers or existing customers who care about the same thing and have the same similar goals. But also in a big business perspective, you can also build a community of practice. Let's say I imagine at Siemens, you know, if they were trying to gather people who are interested in design thinking and implementing design thinking into
their workspace.
Yeah. You know, they could start building a community for existing employees.
Yeah.
Who want to learn about that, who have some knowledge about that, and just try to bring these people together. What I see a lot of corporations actually doing is trying to harness this power of people.
Yeah.
You know, it just can't be. Yeah, it's so good that they start to see that, you know, they have all these locations and there is a way of bringing all these people together, caring about a specific thing.
Yeah, this is a way to bring the people, empower themselves with each other, and also bringing some topic maybe new for the company. I know that at Siemens, they were working on like, how do we want to design our workspace, for example. Mm-hmm. It's a big and really great topic, you know, that I love communities. I would not be there without these all communities. Sometimes I need a pause from all the communities. This is what we talked before we start to record, that if you're engaged in communities, it's not about only about taking, but also about giving. And
it can take a lot of time and a lot of
energy also.
But it's also okay to take a break.
yeah, because sometimes it's very energizing, and most of the time it's very energizing. But sometimes you need also to reflect on your own self without anyone. So,
yeah,
I think this is a great topic, and I'm sure, and I know, you and me, we will have a thing. I will now reach out to you. So for who are you available for your services? If someone wants to build a community and is not a big company, can we reach out to you, or this is not your goal?
Especially at the beginning, I'm just
taking everything.
No, I mean, cut that out. But no, but I never want to become a business that is like, just says, oh, I don't work with these people, you know. If I can help, I will help with anything, you know. So I mean, you do the same thing, you know. Some people just can't pay.
Yeah, of course. I do the same. And it's you learn also by working with a lot of different kind of person. I mean,
you know, we all have like bullshit meter, you know, and you can spot someone who's just trying to, you know, take, versus someone who is just stuck with something and just needs a bit of guidance, and you know, they might become a customer in the future, or so you just don't know who they know, you know.
Mm-mm, absolutely.
So yeah, I think ego is the enemy. No, I'm just gonna try to remain humble. Yeah, and never refuse a phone call.
Thank you so much that you were my guest during this.
Thank you, Nati.
This time. I wish you a very exciting journey. I'm very curious to see where you will be in a year from now.
Let's have a follow-up episode.
Follow-up. And yes. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Nati. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode with Jakob. And in the last few weeks between the recordings and the release of this episode, Jakob has launched his new community called Event Hackers. It's free for now, and it's for you if you want to learn how to build a community or organize an event. You'll find the link in the show notes as well as Jakob's LinkedIn profile if you'd like to get in touch. In the next episode, I welcome Matthias Lenzen, the German facilitator. Yes, you heard right. Matthias is unique. He's passionate about creative playgrounds where people can achieve what they set out to do with enthusiasm and focus. He uses his expertise as a facilitator and his love for tape art to create incredible environments, as I witnessed at this year's Facilitators Connect retreat. I really love his work, and you should be very excited because this is something I never saw anywhere else. So tune in the next episode, and until then, I wish you good health, happiness, and a lot of success. Au revoir.